On Point is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston. The program is made possible by your financial support. Please pledge online at WBUR.org.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Senator Joe Lieberman of Connecticut has spent three terms as a moderate Democrat in the U.S. Senate. He shared the Democratic ticket with Al Gore in 2000, coming within a whisper of being the country's Democratic vice president. He's run for the presidency as a Democratic Party icon. Now, in 2006, Joe Lieberman is in the fight of his life just to hang on to his Senate seat, and not because of a Republican challenger, but because of a Democratic Party primary race. Multimillionaire challenger Ned Lamont has taken Lieberman to task on his support for the Iraq War, and the challenge is working. Up next on Point, the Lieberman-Lamont battle in Connecticut and its national implications for the Democrats and beyond. Later this hour, we expect to hear from Ned Lamont. Joe Lieberman's campaign declined our invitation. Right now, for the latest news from a hot campaign trail, we turn to Av Harris, reporter for WNPR, Connecticut Public Radio. He's been covering the Lieberman-Lamont race. He joins me from Hartford. Av, thanks very much for being with us. What are the latest polls in this race saying?
Well, thank you, Tom. It's a pleasure and an honor to be on your show. The latest poll we have is from Quinnipiac University from last week, and that showed that Ned Lamont has pulled slightly ahead in this race. He's now at 51% to 47% advantage over Lieberman. Now, this is with likely voters in the Democratic primary. The numbers were a little bit different for just Democrats, but Quinnipiac does a good job at polling, and they poll the people who are likely to vote in this primary, which is in the middle of the summer. The turnout is usually only about 25% to 30%. It may be close to 35% or 40% because this race has attracted so much attention. And by the way, that 51% to 47% advantage for Lamont, that comes after a poll just 6 weeks earlier than that where Lieberman had a 15-point lead. So there's been a huge momentum swing in this race just recently.
The whole country knows who Joe Lieberman is. He's been in the Senate for three terms. He was on the vice on the presidential ticket with Al Gore as vice presidential candidate. He ran for president himself. I mean, he is he's an icon in his way. Who is Ned Lamont?
Well, Ned Lamont started a very successful business, a cable and communications business. He has he told me himself a few weeks ago when I was talking to him that he helped to start Vermont Public Radio way back in the day. But he is sort of a perfect storm candidate, if you will, in this election year, because Lieberman has alienated so many people in the Democratic base because the war is so unpopular in Connecticut. Lieberman has not only supported the war but been a very outspoken supporter of the Bush administration policy in opposition to many of his fellow Democrats. So you have that out there. Plus, Lieberman is a self-made multimillionaire. His fortune is estimated at somewhere between $50 to $100 million. He doesn't have to raise a lot of money on his own. He can fund his own campaign. And he's articulate. He has a good issue. And I think there's a sense of complacency that has settled into the Lieberman campaign where after three terms in office and gaining all of this national prestige, he finds himself maybe a tad out of touch with the local town committees, Democrat committees, several of whom have admonished him for his position on the war.
It's a small world and sometimes strange. Ned Lamont, great-grandson of former J.P. Morgan Company chairman Thomas Lamont, a lot of money made, a lot of money inherited there. His wife,
right,
Annie Lamont, a Connecticut venture capitalist. And full disclosure, I should say, in the 1990s, she invested in a company I helped start, but I've never met Ned Lamont or discussed politics with his wife. I haven't seen her in years. I've got no horse in this race. How is Joe Lieberman fighting back off?
Well, it was interesting. It's at first his strategy was to kind of ignore the Lamont campaign and hope that it would just go away. And his poll numbers, he had very high approval rating. It was somewhere up in the 60%. But then I think his own people started to see that this could be troubling because in a poll against a generic anti-war Democrat months ago, way back at the beginning of this year, Lieberman polled even. And that troubled him. And I think after Lamont announced his candidacy and started campaigning about the war in Iraq, Lieberman responded in the complete other direction, which was to go, some would say, over the top in some sense, attack Ned Lamont, in that debate from the clips that you played at the top of the show, he really went after Lamont and he started asking about why aren't you releasing your tax returns and who is Ned Lamont anyway and look at my record. I've been in the Senate for 18 years. I've delivered a lot of billions of dollars in federal money to the state. And that didn't really seem to help him. And it only seemed to push voters towards Lamont because the issue, the central issue of this campaign is the war in Iraq. We have to keep going back to that because if there wouldn't have been a war in Iraq issue, there would be no challenge to Lieberman. Other than that, he basically agrees with Lamont on a lot of the issues, except there are a couple of things. For instance, in the last week, Michael Schiavo, the husband of the late Terry Schiavo, came to campaign with Ned Lamont because Lieberman had made some statements in support of the conservative Republican position on that whole issue, and that came. So he sort of is on a couple of key issues in at odds with a lot of his party, and he it seems to be now he's getting it that his career could be on the line. He's launched a 10-day bus tour of the state. He seems to have revved it up into full gear, but the question is it too little too late?
He has also said, that is Joe Lieberman, he said that if he doesn't win this primary with Ned Lamont of Greenwich, Connecticut, he will run in the fall as an independent. Now, does he have a chance to win as an independent? Has it helped him or hurt him with Democratic primary voters?
Well, those are two really good questions. First of all, on the first question, yes, he does have a chance to win as an independent. That same Quinnipiac University poll last week that polled likely Democratic primary voters also found that if it were a three-way race between Lieberman as an independent, Ned Lamont as a Democrat, and there's a Republican candidate, Alan Schlesinger, who is going nowhere. Even his own people in his own party want him to get out of the race because he has some personal financial scandals that keep following him. But Lieberman would win that race. If the poll was taken a couple of weeks ago, Lieberman would win 51% to 27% over Lamont. Now, since he announced that he was going to start collecting signatures the day before July 4th, he announced he was going to start collecting the signatures. He needs 7,500 signatures to turn in on the day after the primary, August 9th.
For an independent run if it comes to that.
Exactly. That seemed to alienate more voters who are voting in the Democratic primary. The feeling is he can't have it both ways. If he's going to run as an independent, drop out of the Democratic primary. Or if you're going to run as a Democrat, then accept whoever the victor is in the Democratic primary.
But so far, Joe Lieberman not saying he's going to do that, could still end up in the catbird seat, but maybe not as a Democrat. Av Harris, thanks very much for filling us in on the outlines here. Wonderful to have you.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Av Harris, reporter for WNPR, speaking with me from Hartford, Connecticut. Joining me now from Hartford is Bill Curry, columnist for the Hartford Courant. He was a domestic policy advisor to President Bill Clinton and twice the Democratic nominee for governor in Connecticut. Bill Curry, thanks very much for joining us.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
What do you make of what is unfolding in this race? What does it say about Joe Lieberman in Connecticut? What does it say about the Democratic Party, Bill?
Well, I think both sides here, somebody once said you can divide the world into two categories, those who divide the world into two categories and those who don't. But for the sake of this race, dividing between a kind of left-leaning blogosphere and a more centrist to right-leaning DLC establishment, the DLC, Democratic Leadership Council in Washington, I know that Will Marsh will be with us shortly, it has become the establishment of the party in a very real way. In fact, when Bill Clinton came in here to campaign for Joe Lieberman, in a very real sense, he was in there as much to campaign for Will Marshall as for Joe Lieberman and for a consensus within the party that his own wife may soon be running on. And the Democratic Party, again, it's not so much an organization as a brand name. It's kind of a floating adhocracy. Both the left-leaning blogosphere and the DLC, each one thinks that the party's in the clutches of the other and that this is a fight for the soul of the Democratic Party in some ways. And metaphorically, it is. I'm not so sure. It's kind of like fighting for the soul of an Amway distributorship. But I'm not sure the party itself is going to change that much as a result of all this. Number one, it's about the identification with George Bush and whether or not these Republicans in Washington are anybody that Democrats want to compromise or bargain with or can. Mm. It's not just the foreign policy. It's the culture wars. The senator's appearances, Senator Lieberman, his appearances with Bill Bennett and with others kind of kowtowing to the culture warriors has been a problem for him. The performance of Congress, the Constitution gives the Senate three big responsibilities, nominations, impeachment, and treaties. People don't feel that even their explicit duties have been fulfilled, that there haven't been checks and balances. And lastly, though, I would just, if I have time, just to say this, there's been a sense in the part of liberal Democrats that that Joe Lieberman has made his political bones for a while now at their expense. When the senator suggested after bowing out of the presidential primary 2 years ago that he was worried the party might be drifting into extremism. And many people looked at John Kerry and thought, you know, extremely stiff.
But extremism, extremely forget about it.
Extremely incoherent. You know, you want to say, hey, you've talked to John Kerry?
We're talking this hour about the Lieberman-Lamont race, the surprising Connecticut battle for Joe Lieberman's U.S. Senate seat and its reverberations through the Democratic Party. The two candidates debated last month. Front and center was the war in Iraq. Lieberman went on the attack, charging Lamont had flip-flopped on his support for John Kerry's amendment on setting a deadline for U.S. troop withdrawal. Lieberman pressed Lamont on his position.
Do you support a specific deadline for getting out of Iraq?
Absolutely. Like Chris Dodd, like the part of the Democratic Party in Washington, D.C., I supported both of those amendments. Those amendments in Washington, D.C. were clear. It's time for us to change course, time for us to start getting our frontline troops out of harm's way. We get our troops out of harm's way within the next 6 months. We get our troops out of Iraq over the course of the next year. That's important. That fundamentally is a change of direction. You have an open-ended stay the course strategy.
No way.
I think it's important to look at the facts on the ground, and we're not making the situation better by our frontline presence there.
Absolutely untrue. I have said the sooner we get out of Iraq, the better. But if we get out too soon, it will be a disaster for the Iraqis and for us.
Joe Lieberman and Ned Lamont debating in Connecticut for the U.S. Senate seat last month. We invited Joe Lieberman onto the show. He said he could not make it. He's at a senior center this morning. But Ned Lamont is with us. He joins us now from Greenwich, Connecticut. Mr. Lamont, thanks very much for being here.
Hello, Tom. Delighted to be here.
Why do you think you're doing so well in the polls running up to the primary vote?
I think that the people of Connecticut want fundamental change when it comes to what's going on in Washington. They believe that a George Bush has taken this country way off course, and they want Democrats to put forward a positive alternative agenda. And it starts with the war in Iraq. I think the people of Connecticut have an opportunity on August 8th, 1 week from today, to say whether they want to stay the course and keep our troops there, or time for us to bring our troops home and start investing in this country again. And that's a lot about what this race is about.
Do you have to pinch yourself, ask yourself how you got here? I mean, you've been a selectman in the town of Greenwich, and now you're potentially within a hair's breadth of being a U.S. senator and walking in over a three-term senator who's been huge in American politics. Are you surprised yourself at what's happened here?
Well, it's very true. I started up a business, and just a year ago, we were pulling fiber optic cable through college campuses. And sometimes when I'm driving to my campaign office, I almost steer off and go back to the cable office. But I think what we're doing is important. I think this is an opportunity for the people of Connecticut. Not often we have a chance to send a message. And here we can say loud and clear what we're doing in Iraq is not working, and really what we're doing in America is not working right now. We want to make this change.
Joe Lieberman says, look, I voted with the Democratic caucus 90% of the time. How can you say I'm not part of the heart of the Democratic Party? What's your response to that?
I believe that on many small issues, he's there with the Democrats. But on big issues, on issues of principle, I think he's been wrong. I think he played an awful lot of footsie with the president when the president was talking about private accounts and privatizing Social Security. I wanted the senator to take a lead position when Sam Alito's nomination was up. I think Alito fundamentally tilts the balance of the Supreme Court. I wish that the senator had not reached across the aisle to support Dick Cheney's energy bill. He was the only New England Democrat to support that bill, and it's a bad bill because it does nothing for conservation, nothing for fuel economy standards, and nothing for the environment. So I think too often he's undermining the Democrats when it's time for the Democrats to stand up and be constructive and pose an alternative.
And who's in your corner on this? Bill Curry's with us. He suggested some have seen you, Ned Lamont, as a creature of the blogosphere, a creation of the left-leaning bloggers who can't stand Joe Lieberman's moderation, sometimes conservative cultural posture. Are you a creature of the bloggers?
Like, I'm a creature of the 15,000 people across the state and country who have donated to our campaign, volunteered in this campaign. It's a small money grassroots campaign, and that's what I'm a creature of. And if you go around this state, you go to the parades, the veterans who are reaching out, and saying Iraq is no longer open to a military solution. It's time to bring our troops home to the heroes' welcome they deserve. You go to the schools. I teach at a school in Bridgeport, Connecticut as a volunteer. Talk to the teachers and the students and the parents there. They say, how come we can't afford to keep our school open past 2:30 in the afternoon? I think we've got pretty good broad-based support, and I'm proud of that.
You call it a small-money grassroots campaign, but you're a rich guy, $90 to $300 million. Are you just going to be, if you get there, one more sort of, you know, gold-plated American rich guy in the U.S. Senate?
Hey, look, it's pretty tough to take on a three-term incumbent who's collecting, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars from the PACs and the lobbyists and the such. I haven't done that, and I don't need to do that. I've helped jumpstart the campaign, no question about it, but I got 15,000 other donors there alongside of me. And I think that together we're going to go down to Washington, D.C. and change how we do business.
And Ned Lamont, finally, what about moderation and bipartisanship? It's a very polarized era. If Joe Lieberman goes down to defeat in his race with you, is it a defeat for moderation in this country, for a bipartisan possibility?
No, I strongly dispute that. I don't think that the unilateral invasion of a small country in the Middle East that was of no immediate threat to us, you know, despite the warnings of our allies, despite the United Nations, despite the neighbors in the region, I don't for a second think that George Herbert Walker Bush would have done that. I know Bill Clinton wouldn't have done that. I don't think there's anything moderate about our foreign policy right now. I don't think there's anything moderate about the illegal wiretaps and Abu Ghraib and Guantanamo. I believe that this administration has taken the country away off of its bipartisan historical moorings, and I think I'm a centrist who's going to bring us back to what America's always stood for.
Ned Lamont, candidate for the U.S. Senate in the Democratic primary. The vote will be 1 week from today. He joined us from Greenwich, Connecticut. Mr. Lamont, thank you for being with us.
I'm delighted to be here.
We asked Joe Lieberman on. He said he was busy at a senior center and could not make it. We would have been very glad to have him. Bill Curry is with us from Hartford, Connecticut, columnist for the Hartford Current. He was a senior domestic policy advisor in the Clinton administration, twice a Democratic nominee for governor of Connecticut. We're also joined now from Seattle, Washington, by Joan McCarter. She's a contributing editor and blogger for the Daily Kos. The site gets some 600,000 visits a day. She blogs under the name Mick Joan, and she has gone after Joe Lieberman in her blog. Joan McCarter, thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
And with us from Washington, Will Marshall, founder and president of the Progressive Policy Institute. He's a founder of the Democratic Leadership Council supporting Joe Lieberman in this race. Will Marshall, thank you for being here.
Hey, Tom. Good to be with you.
Joan McCarter, the blogosphere has been given a lot of credit for putting Ned Lamont's candidacy on the boards. Do you accept the credit?
I think we can accept some credit for making it more of a national race. But we didn't make Ned Lamont. Ned Lamont wouldn't exist without years and years of neglect on the part of Joe Lieberman. This campaign wouldn't have gotten the legs that it's had if Joe Lieberman hadn't routinely ignored the people of Connecticut for the last 18 years.
Ignore the people of Connecticut or ignore the issues that are important to you as a kind of a lefty blogger at the Daily Kos?
We hear from lots of folks in Connecticut who post on the blog, from veterans who've invited Joe Lieberman to come speak at their events that he's blown off. He takes forever to return constituent mail. He hardly ever goes to the small towns of Connecticut, except for now his 10-day bus tour, now that he needs to see those small town faces. He really has been missing in Connecticut for many, many years. And without that, I don't think we would see this kind of strong campaign by Ned Lamont.
Will Marshall, what do you make of this characterization of Joe Lieberman as a kind of kiss-up to George Bush, who's missing in action in Connecticut and needs to go for the purity and efficacy of the Democratic Party?
Well, I listened carefully to what Mr. Lamont said, and he kept returning to the Iraq War. So it's hard really to miss that as the driver here. I don't think it really has to do with 18 years of neglect by Senator Lieberman of his constituents. They've returned him to the Senate three times, seem to be quite happy with him, but there's definitely been a sharp shift in the party's mood in the last several years, and I think in some respects he's been caught up in that mood change. So I think it's a recent phenomenon. It's really connected to Iraq, and I don't think that it has deep roots or some pattern of neglect in Connecticut. Look, there's no question that there are lots of folks there. I think that, you know, I will give the blogosphere credit. Move On played, I think, a catalytic role in getting the Lamont campaign up and running and convincing folks that it was real and even staffing it and raising money for it. But, you know, in the end, Joe Lieberman is in trouble not because of folks out there in the blogosphere, but because a lot of liberal Democrats are questioning him and rallying behind Mr. Lamont. So that's, you know, he's got to win and make his case in Connecticut. And at this point, really, the blogosphere folks don't affect the outcome very much.
Bill Clinton was there with Joe Lieberman, standing up for and with him just a few days ago. If Joe Lieberman is in trouble, Will Marshall, does that mean that the centrist Democratic Party line that he hewed to, that you represent, is also in trouble?
Well, I think it's really, you know, this is a sad occasion for Joe Lieberman, who's been a longtime loyal Democrat. You know, I think it's important to recall that, you know, his political career began when he went down to fight for civil rights in Mississippi in 1964, before many of his blogospheric tormentors were even alive. So he has long and deep roots in the Democratic Party. That's not really the issue. That what seems to be happening here is a campaign to punish dissenters on Iraq. And I think that's unhealthy for the Democratic Party. You know, when we're not quite a majority, we're getting close, and I think after this next election we may be one, but the story of the last several elections, the Democrats haven't been in the majority in national elections. And we've got to open the doors, bring people over, and particularly all those many disillusioned independents and moderates and even Republicans who have utterly soured on George Bush and the Bush Republican Congress. Now is the time to say, okay, come on over. This administration has manifestly failed. We do need fundamental change in Washington. And it seems to me that going after our own, cannibalizing Democrats, is exactly the wrong approach to take when the door is open for Democrats to finally build the progressive majority that's eluded us in recent years.
Bill Curry in Hartford, Connecticut, how do you see it? Is Joe Lieberman standing up for the big tent Democratic Party? Is Ned Lamont the small tent Democratic Party?
No, I wouldn't say that. And I think that there's, a piece from each side here. The DLC has done some extraordinarily good work. I'm an admirer of Will Marshall's and of Al Fromm and of all people put it together. And they began with a sort of reinventing government, Osborne Gabler, a willingness on the part of Democrats to reexamine their methods and to try to begin to invent new kinds of solutions. At the same time, it has represented a kind of politics that hasn't been willing to go after the systemic issues, the distribution of power and opportunity, the problem of holding corporations accountable to some degree in this decreasingly pluralistic society of ours. And a part of what Joe is, he's standing in to people within the party, and not all of whom are coming to the polls wearing sandals and ponytails. You don't get into trouble in a Democratic primary unless you're in trouble with mainstream Democrats. That's not really how it works. And so I think that the fissure that's coming here or that's demonstrated here is not just about Bush foreign policy, but about whether we can find an effective centrism. And you know, as I've said before, you have old Democrats who have lots of principles and no ideas, and new Democrats with lots of ideas and fewer principles. You'd think some political entrepreneur could have gotten these people together, but they haven't been able to. And so you have fights like this to fight out exactly who we are and if, in fact, we stand for anything.
I want to hear from voters in Connecticut, and a lot of them want to join us. Let me turn to Hartford and Elaine. Hi, Elaine. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I'm a dyed-in-the-wool liberal Democrat who has been disgusted with Lieberman for years. I don't feel like he's ever represented my views or the views of a lot of the people I know.
90% voting with the Democratic caucus, he claims, that's not good enough?
Well, I mean, when you look at things like Terri Schiavo and school vouchers and Social Security, I mean, these are the things that get a lot of attention, get my attention. And frankly, I mean, if Lowell Weicker were running again, I'd vote for him, even if he ran as a Republican, because I think Lieberman is arrogant. He thinks that this is his seat.
Do you see this as a fight for the soul of the Democratic Party, Elaine? Are you hoping to shift that heart of the party somehow with your vote?
No, I just want to get rid of Lieberman.
Wow, there you go. Dyed in the wool. Liberal Democrats is out with Lieberman. Let's go to Nitva in New Haven, Connecticut. Hi, Nitva. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. What do you think, Nitva?
Well, I'm thinking that I'm not sure who I'm going to vote for, but my thought on Lamont is that he always portrays these people of color on his commercials, but I have not seen what he's really going to do. He talks about Bridgeville schools don't have extended hours, not having all these resources for people, but it's just talk. At least I know with Lieberman where he's standing. You know, he's been there for 3 terms. Now, I'm not saying that Lieberman has done anything for me, but I know where he stands.
Al Sharpton says he's gone with Lamont. Lamont was rocking in a black church, Zion Baptist Church in Waterbury. I think I'm reading here over the weekend. But you're not persuaded, Nitva.
I'm not, because he says, well, we need to do this, we need to do that, but we know that when he gets up to be in Washington, D.C., that's not the priority. So how do I know that Lamont is really going to do what he says?
Nitva, let us pick it up. Joan McCarter, how about it? You're behind Lieberman on his position, I mean Lamont, on his position on the war, but what about, I mean, here you've got a Greenwich multimillionaire. Speak to Nitva's concern. She's not sure that he knows what she needs and wants.
A Greenwich multimillionaire who's also been a volunteer in inner-city schools in Connecticut.
Fair enough. We heard him say it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that Ned Lamont has a good sense from his position as a selectman in Greenwich, from his time spent
of the needs
at the schools,
of the poor, from his position?
Of the needs of the poor, of the needs of the people of Connecticut.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about the Lieberman-Lamont race in Connecticut between three-term U.S. Senate incumbent Joe Lieberman and challenger upstart leading in the polls Ned Lamont. Supporters of each candidate have said they see the race as a battle for the soul of the Democratic Party. In their debate on Connecticut station NBC 30, each man said he was the true Democrat. First, Joe Lieberman on Lamont's attacks.
He's a single-issue candidate who's applying a litmus test to me. It's not good enough to be 90% voting with my colleagues in the Senate Democratic Caucus. He wants 100%, and when a party does that, it's the beginning of the defeat of that party. I want Democrats to be back in the majority in Washington and elect a Democratic president in 2008. This man and his supporters will frustrate and defeat our hopes of doing that.
Let me give you 30 more seconds, Mr. Lamont, if you would like to respond to that.
I think it's so important that Democrats stand up and present a constructive alternative to the Bush administration. And I do find that Senator Lieberman too often is willing to undermine the Democrats, be it on issues of war and peace, like the war in Iraq, or be it on a variety of other issues. These are important issues that say a lot about what type of a party we are and what we stand for. We stand for the public good. We stand for public education. We stand for universal health care for each and every American. And I think it's important that when Democrats say that, that's when we start winning again.
Lieberman and Lamont duking it out in debate last month in Connecticut, where they're going right down to the wire in a primary vote, Democratic Party primary, a week from today. Lieberman has said that if he loses that primary, and the polls say he may, he will run as an independent candidate. Ken's calling from Danbury, Connecticut. Hi, Ken. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. How you doing?
Good.
I've been very unhappy with Mr. Lieberman for a long time. In fact, many years before this election came up, I've written to Mr. Lieberman on numerous occasions concerning health care issues and things of that sort, to where I am I'm in business by myself, and my health care costs keep rising. My insurances keep rising, and I don't even get so much as a return form letter saying, hi, thank you for wasting your time, but we'll read it someday.
But, you know, a lot of Democrats have not solved that. A lot of Democratic senators and congressmen respond with form letters at best. So why so angry at this one in particular?
Well, Mr. Lieberman can't even find the time to even send out the form letter. And it's not just this issue, it's many issues. He does not represent the core base in Connecticut. I was very unhappy with his Alito nomination. As far as, yes, he did vote against Samuel Alito, but he didn't vote for the filibuster to stop it, knowing that there would be a Republican majority to push it through.
Ken, we've got it. Let us pick that up. Bill Curry, Joe Lieberman's been in office for a long time. We read everywhere that it took him a long time to wake up to this challenge. Did he just become too comfortable with the presumption that he was the man and he would be there?
It's a rare senator who vacations in his home state. And when you've been in Washington for a while, it's pretty easy to lose touch to some degree. I think it happens to everyone. He's also run two national races. It's not what this is about. This is about whether you think, number one, Bush, Rumsfeld, Cheney are people you can communicate with or people you have to contain, first of all. And in the eyes of Democrats, what Washington has lacked is checks and balances. And it's also about what is the center. I think you notice that Ned Lamont described himself as a centrist. The New York Times in its Sunday editorial called him a moderate. They're right. It's a testimony to the influence of the DLC. We've got five candidates, three gubernatorial candidates, including a Republican and two Senate candidates, all of whom I've spoken to a great deal over the years and all of whom I regard as DLC moderates. People are on different sides of an opportunity here as much as on an issue. This race, though, it comes down to Bush foreign policy, which is if you're going to have a race over a single issue, it might as well be one that big.
And that contains
and it contains that many basic values within it. What is our role in the world? Is our security in multilateralism and working with others, or is it in the kind of cowboy unilateralism and preemptive wars that this administration has taken as first choice? And so there's that piece of it. Joe will be trying to get across. I've known him since we sat next to each other in the state Senate when he championed many bills as a young senator that I was supporting in environmental bills and worker notification and right-to-know stuff. I have deep personal regard for him. The fundamental question here, though, is, number one, this isn't about tribalism or whether it's about the middle class versus the rich or bloggers versus moderates. We need a fight for the mind of the Democratic Party. Put the heart and soul aside for a second. We need to figure out what our real blueprint is and which of these fundamental positions. Policy precedes message. First figure out what you believe, then how to tell people about it.
In Connecticut, and looking at that right now in this primary.
And that's what I think is really happening here. It's not happening in the most logical way. It doesn't have the most coherent way. This is politics, but it's happening.
Wow. And to somebody who has stood so large in American politics for so long, let me take a call from Dubuque, Iowa, an important state before long in the 2008 elections. Joe is calling there. Hi, Joe. You're on the air.
Thanks, Tom. My comment is I don't feel Mr. Lieberman deserves to be in office any longer. I'm still mad about the election of 2000 when they didn't fight hard enough to against having that election stolen from them.
Al Gore and Joe Lieberman, you're saying?
Yes. He doesn't have enough testosterone as far as I'm concerned. And I also believe these fuel prices are just, it's nuts. We're giving away this country. I'm 60 years old, about ready to retire, have some health problems. I have health insurance now, but there's a lot of people that don't, and then I'm looking for when I retire. I feel like I've been working since I was a teenager, and I feel like everything I've worked for is being given away to foreign countries and the big interest of the big politicians because they can make money off these all these goods coming in. I feel like I'm most people have had pets. You mistreat a pet so long, he's going to turn around and bite you. And I'm going to tell you what, this country, you keep taxing the middleman up to 60% of his wages and watch what happens in this country.
So you want somebody with where you feel more fire in the belly. Will Marshall, how about it? Maybe we hear voices here saying, look, let's just face it. The country is polarized. It's a throwdown. It's a showdown. We want more of a fighter than Joe Lieberman has proven himself.
Well, I think this gets to the nub of the issue. I mean, Joe Lieberman is a victim of the sort of inflamed tempers over Iraq, but also of the longer-term trend toward political polarization. And this gets to the point I was trying to make earlier. It can't be a fight between DLC and the left or liberals and moderates and centrists because we need everybody to build a majority in this party. We don't win through subtraction. We don't win by stifling dissent. We don't win by narrowing the Democratic Party. We win by enlarging it, inviting people in, extending our reach to across the middle of the spectrum to people who are now eminently persuadable. And my problem with this whole purge is that it is manifestly animated by the spirit to punish, the spirit to drive out of the party a loyal Democrat, as you pointed out earlier, 90% of the time votes with Democrats, who on occasion betrays an independent spirit. And he's being punished precisely because he stands for these principles that suddenly now are so inconvenient. The crowning irony of this whole campaign is that Joe Lieberman is being told that he has to stand for principle, and if not, he's going to be run out of the party. But the principles, as it turns out, are those of the blogosphere and the left who are after him and not the ones that he actually believes in. They don't credit him at all for doing that.
Joan McCarter, how about that? Conservative columnist David Brooks says this is a liberal inquisition. You hear kind of that language in what Will Marshall's saying here. He's saying the Democratic Party faces an opportunity here to reach out and grab the middle, and punishing Joe Lieberman is not the way to do that.
I love this whole idea of a purge, as if a purge could come from the bottom up. It's not a purge, it's democracy. It's a vote in a primary election. It's not an inquisition. And, you know, you can disagree with people. You can have dissent within the party. But when you call your fellow Democrats unpatriotic, when you say that they are undermining the nation's security because they disagree with you and they disagree with the president, and you're unwilling to take your chances with the voters, you're going to, just thinking of Joe and party loyalty and this whole idea that it's the soul of the Democratic Party that's at stake when he's completely willing to bail the party if he loses his primary. I'm sorry, being lectured by Joe Lieberman and even by Will Marshall on party loyalty when he's willing to do this is galling to me.
Let me take a call from Mystic, Connecticut. Kristen's on the line. Hi, Kristen. You're on the air. Hi.
I'm a college student, so I've recently gotten back since May and kind of been submerged in this all of a sudden again.
Are you going to vote, Kristen?
I'm trying to. I have to vote absentee ballot because I go to school in a different state. But I was wondering what the impact of all this negative campaigning is going to have on the overall public opinion on the Democratic Party.
And who's negative campaigning, Kristen?
There's just so much negative campaigning all around on both sides. And, I mean, I grew up in Connecticut, so I very rarely saw ads for any election because it was especially presidential ones. Mm. And all of a sudden I'm bombarded when I turn on the television with all these campaigns and having them go talk.
Who seems meaner, more negative to you, Lieberman or Lamont?
I actually think Lamont does, but I don't know. Either way, it just doesn't seem like the party seems divided in the primaries. How's that? I mean, it works more for hardcore Democrats, but when you're looking at a state, and I'm someone who's not really sure where I stand yet, and I'm still fairly young, and I'm seeing the party kind of just attack itself. I mean, how's that working in the nation as a whole?
Let us look at that, Kristen. Thanks for your call. Joan, let me take that first to you. I mean, you quote Joe Lieberman, critical sometimes of fellow Democrats. Of course, the blogosphere has been absolutely brutal on him, you know, whiny baby clown, and that's just the sweetest of it. There's been very, very tough, vicious language out there on Joe Lieberman. Do you see the party turning off voters like Kristen who say, what is this self-destruction?
I don't think so. I think primaries are essentially good for the Democratic Party. I think we need more of them. I contrast this primary with one back in June in California with Jane Harman and Marsh C. Winograd. Jane Harman, who is ranking member on the Intelligence Committee, was supportive of the Iraq War, was defensive of the NSA wiretapping scandal, supported the president in that. And it really upset a lot of Democrats in California and a lot in the blogosphere. And she had a strong challenge from Marcy Winograd, a Democratic Party activist in California. And rather than play the Lieberman route of getting petulant, of getting angry, Jane Harman recognized that there was a component of her base that was upset with her, and she wanted to find out why. She reached out. She asked us what was going on. She talked to the people of California. That's what can happen in a primary. We came to some understanding. We don't agree on everything, but she's willing to talk to us. We're willing to talk to her. Joe Lieberman could have done the same thing.
And instead?
And instead, he's gotten angry. He said if he doesn't win this primary, he's going to pick up his marbles and take them to another party. He's characterized the party regulars who put Lamont on the ballot as the angry leftists. He's alienated many in the Democratic Party, many people in the Democratic Party.
And now,
it's not just because he's a moderate. Mm. We support lots of moderates on the blog. We support Harry Reid. We support John Murtha.
And now, Joe Lieberman, kind of amazingly, with his future really up for grabs, let's take a call from New York. Mike is on the line. Hi, Mike. You're on the air.
How you doing? I think it's important to note that, you know, this whole idea that Lieberman has voted with Democrats 90% of the time is kind of not really taking into account Lieberman's stand on a lot of those issues. I think the Alito nomination was one of those things. When he could have stood up to stop the Alito nomination, he didn't. And then he voted with the Democrats on the nomination to defeat the nomination at the end when it didn't really matter. And I don't know if you had seen Colin McEnroe's article on Salon.com yesterday, but he says that Lieberman has a history of doing this to Connecticut and to the Democratic voters.
But do you see the Democratic Party weakened when it throws out a big figure, if it throws out a big figure like Joe Lieberman, Mike, or do you see it strengthened?
No, I definitely see it strengthened. I think there's not a problem. Dissent is not the issue. It's the fact that, you know, when the chips are down, Lieberman doesn't stand up. He backs away, and he kind of lets the Republican talking points be used against the Democrats. He reiterates them against the Democrats. And
yeah,
that's
the charge, and we've heard it repeatedly. Will Marshall, do you see Joe Lieberman ducking? Jones says, look, this is a primary. This is where things get sorted out. He should be willing and happy to come out and face the music here and talk with fellow Democrats. Do you see him having ducked that?
Well, look, again, the reason he's on the hot seat is precisely because he hasn't budged from his principles. If he had, we just heard, if he had gone out and tried to appease the blogospheric barons, the cyber commissars, like apparently Jane Harman did in that account, maybe he'd be in better shape. He's making his case. It's a primary. This is democracy at work. I'm not saying anybody should deny anybody the chance to challenge any other person in the primary. But I think there's more to it than that. I think this is an orchestrated campaign, and again, to punish somebody for deviation from somebody's idea of a party line. Litmus test politics never helps the Democratic Party. Liberal fundamentalism is incompatible with our strategic goal now, which is to drive the Republicans out of power. That's my point. And if there isn't room for an independent thinker like Joe Lieberman in this party, then thousands of other moderate Democrats around the country are going to wonder, millions, really, you know, is there room for me in this kind of party that's imposing litmus tests and is out to, to declare people who have independent views or views not according to liberal orthodoxy as some kind of, that there are apostates or heretics. Mm.
Bill Curry, our time is short. Last word goes to you. You're there in Hartford, Connecticut. Do you see liberal fundamentalism on the march looking to drive Joe Lieberman out of the Senate?
I don't think that's true. I think Will makes a good point about you have to have a big enough tent in this party to reach out. But truly, we have to figure out the basis that we're reaching out on. And, this has been a very difficult primary and a very difficult time. Most political speeches I hear, the subtext is that anybody disagreeing is a hypocrite. And we have to have a discussion now about what kind of foreign policy we're really for. Joe, the DLC, the party itself, if it could espouse a clear foreign policy and clear differences, would be a lot better off. You can be a centrist and do that.
August 8th, the Democratic primary in Connecticut. The whole country will be watching. Bill Curry in Hartford, Connecticut, a columnist for the Hartford Current. Thanks very much for joining us today.
My pleasure, completely. Thank you.
Joan McCarter, contributing editor and blogger at the Daily Coast, joining us from Seattle. Joan, thanks very much for being here.
Thank you. It was great.
And Will Marshall, head, founder of the Democratic Leadership Council in Washington. Will, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.